email todaysor@rte.ie.
Lots of reaction to our earlier conversations just apropos the drink driving and those roadside tests. What about people with neurological conditions that can mimic inebriation, asks one caller. Then the Ian Robertson and how to stay young or at least to keep dementia at bay. I'm 74, says John. I took up set dancing 7 years ago. I feel younger than I ever did in my life. It's magic. You won't have time to think of getting old. Good for you, John. Again on drink driving, will these new laws be enforced? That's the big question. Here in Cork City, speed limits are neither observed nor enforced. And then Anne in Cork, also in Cork, a good chat with Professor Robinson. My mother moved to Ireland for the first time at the age of 94 to live with me, and she created a wonderful chair from her chair at home. She got involved with all my friends and prayed for their intentions. She learned the names of all politicians, read avidly, tasted new foods, grew plants, and died at the age of 97, still very bright and alert. Interesting that her two younger sisters both have Alzheimer's. That from Anne in Cork. Keep those texts coming at 51551. Now, speaking of praying for intentions, the number of young men or not so young men studying for the priesthood is declining rapidly. So it's leading to talk in some quarters of collective funerals and weddings as priests struggle to meet the needs of not one flock but several. There are still men, however, who feel that call and answer that call to religious life. And with me this morning are three such individuals who are at different stages of their studies at the seminary at St. Patrick's College in Maynooth. They're Sean Jones, Vincent Stapleton and Leo Creelman. Thank you very much indeed, all of you, for coming in. Leo, I suppose we could call you the senior man. You were a late starter. You had quite a good business going before you decided to change course.
Yes, Sean, I have indeed. I'm 50 years of age and had a few businesses was going before I entered seminary. I qualified from Queen's University in Belfast as an accountant. I then went into the family business, which is amusement and leisure industry, and I then, I suppose, branched out on my own, and I had several retail places like cafes, ice cream shops, and I also was a real estate agent in America. So there was a lot of things I did before I decided to go for what was pulling me for the past 30 years into priesthood.
You must have been fairly well off. I mean, what were you worth at that stage?
Oh, no, a policewoman wouldn't ask that question, Sean.
Well, you would have been seen in some quarters as a pretty good catch.
Well, I suppose it would have been, but I was that busy at other things, it was hard to catch me. I think that it was because I liked my cars and I liked the fast cars, so I liked to stay on the move. And I was very busy. I mean, I was busy 14, 15 hours a day. But I must admit now, coming into and beginning to study for priesthood, things have actually slowed down, would you believe?
And you're 6 years in, you're due to be ordained, is it next year?
Please God, be ordained next summer.
Now,
yes.
To come to somebody who's just a little bit over half your age, Sean Jones from County Kerry. You're 26, so what's your path to Maynooth been? A good bit different from Leo's.
Yeah, very much different. I suppose my journey started off back in 2005 when I finished the Leaving Cert. I went to Maynooth as a lay student and I did a degree in theology. And during my time in Maynooth, I was kind of influenced by some of the guys that I was studying with for priesthood. And in many ways, I joined a religious order in 2008 and was with them for 4.5 years. And was in Rome up to last year, where I decided to come back to the Diocese of Kerry. So I'm in Maynooth now. This is my second year, so I have another 18 months left. So that was my.
So your time with the order would qualify as part of your training, obviously.
It would add to the training.
And Vincent Stapleton, you're I think 32. You're from Tipperary. With a name like Stapleton, there must be hurling connections.
Oh, sure, there is. I'm a first cousin of Paddy, who's cornerback on the Tip senior team at the moment, and I play myself actually with the Borussia club. So, I mean, we've had our ups and our downs. 2005, I won, and 2007, I played on winning North Tipperary teams, but our holy grail is the county final, and last year we got to the semi-final and Lochmore pipped us by 2 points. But
and you had a career not as long as Leo's before you went to Maynooth.
That's correct, yeah. So I studied in Mary Eye and qualified as a primary teacher, and I got a job in a local village, Templederry, and I taught for 5 years, fifth and sixth class in Templederry Primary School. I've just the best memories of it, actually. I met some of my past pupils at a kind of a retirement do a couple of weeks ago, and we had a great chat because at the time I did a time capsule with them, and they were wondering did I still have it, and I still have it, so we're planning to meet up around the Christmas to open it up now. We have a newspaper from the day and some of the artwork that they did and things like that in it.
That could be quite some fun, I suspect. But I want to ask each of you this question. Was it a spark or was it something maybe a bit more slow burning that inspired and drew you and led you to decide to become a priest, Sean?
I suppose for myself, growing up in North Kerry in a village called Myvan, there was three things that kind of were a big influence: farming, the GA, and the church. And growing up, I had an obvious association with the church. But when I went into secondary school, it kind of drifted a little bit away from it. To come to the priesthood, we had some very good priests in the village, which impacted me very much. A lot of people would say that somebody in their life would have influenced them to join. Mine was actually a place. I remember going over to Lourdes with the Kerry Diocesan Pilgrimage and just being overawed by the whole experience of Lourdes and the great faith that was there, especially among sick pilgrims and young people. So for me, it was Lourdes that the whole priesthood came from.
And in your case?
In my case, I'd say, like, I like the idea of a fire that was probably the initial spark, and then it blazed to a furnace. And my initial spark, I think, was around First Holy Communion time, because I can remember at home having the ironing board out and a bed sheet pulled over me and little bits of bread on a... And I was using my First Holy Communion book as a missile, maybe. And my brother had a little bell. He would ring it at the right time, and then he'd receive his communion from me. So, I mean, that was an early indication. And like Sean, I kind of drifted away from it as a teen. And,
but was it a kind of a religious and strongly practicing family that you came from?
Oh, yes. We had rosary every night. And, like, mass going was the norm for us. And even, like, my father, he has a small farm. He's retired now, but he was very strong on not working on Sundays and things like that. And we had fish on Fridays. So, I mean, a lot of the hallmarks of a Catholic family were there.
And in your case, Leo?
Yes, my family, again, was very much faith-based. And coming from the north, I suppose, the parish was the social hub. And I was very lucky because where I grew up, we had the parish priest on one side of us and the curates on the other. I was an altar servant. I was only a few months ago, I was back preaching in my home church. And I was actually, my first memory of wanting to be a priest was being serving on that ordination. And the priest was lying down during the ordination. And I thought to myself, someday that will be me. And I was 10 years of age there, and actually the priest who's been ordained that day is now the parish priest in the parish. And he embarrassed me even more because the next morning he produced a photograph of myself serving on his ordination. But I mean, we come from it. Most certainly my family was very, very influential. My parents are still very, I mean, they would still be a great influence on me. And just the whole family, I mean, right out.
But Leo, why do you want to be a priest?
I want to be a priest because I'm actually answering a call. I feel that I'm answering a call that on all the businesses I had, you know, there was always something there pulling me, and I was getting stronger. Like Vincent said, like I might have been a slow burner, but, you know, it got to the stage whereby I just couldn't fight it anymore. When I was going to Mass, I was involved in the parish. I got to the stage, I said, look, you know, I can't fight this anymore.
And did you fight it? Were you conscious of fighting it?
I was conscious of fighting it. And I suppose for me, I always thought that I wasn't good enough to be a priest. That was the whole thing I thought. And then the more I got to know priests, the more I realised that they were human. They weren't, you know, I perhaps had them on a pedestal, particularly when I was young, because they were really heroes of mine. Most, a lot of priests that I suppose, grew up with. And it got to the stage where, I mean, I can remember praying even 15, 20 years ago to the Lord, say, if you want to be a priest, show me a sign.
And did you get one?
Well, there's a lot of signs. Look back now, it's like, you know, when you argue with the sat nav in the car, I got all these signs telling me to turn right and I kept going left. When I look back on it now, I definitely went the long way around. And there was one, for example, I had one of my business in Enniskillen, and I was there, and actually, to cut a long story short, my business, the building collapsed. So when I look back on it now, it gave me that time, I suppose to really think about what my vocation was, and to say yes then eventually to the call.
And Vincent, what about you? I mean, why do you want to be a priest? Because you had a career going, you had the world at your feet and teaching, great career, sport, presumably, you know, young girlfriends, all the rest of it.
I think the teaching was a very important aspect of that. I came to realise the importance of God for me and God for for everybody while I was teaching, and I'll kind of maybe unwrap that a bit and say, like, the first day I arrived in after 3 years in Mary Eye, the door closed behind me in that classroom and the principal gave me the class. There was 34 kids there in front of me in their old style desks with the inkwells and everything, and I realised I'm responsible for these. And that first 6 months was very, very challenging, and it drove me to my knees in a sense to find the resources to deal with this new responsibility that I had. And I found great comfort in prayer, began attending daily mass at that stage, and as well as that, I was reflecting on where I was educating these children, what kind of futures they had in store. And there was some who were brilliant at maths, others at sport, others at music and things.
Yeah, but
I realised that the important thing to be brilliant at, not to be brilliant at maybe, but the important thing is to say that these kids know they're loved and that they have a future, and even a future beyond this life. And I was teaching in a Catholic school, and I found the kids really resonated.
Yeah, and you could have done an awful lot of good work staying right in that situation, in that setting, educating hundreds and hundreds of children throughout your life. So why be a priest?
Because the God factor began to eclipse all the others, and prayer, I would say, became to my soul what breathing is to my life. And I couldn't turn away from this dedication and commitment to God that I was being called to.
Sean, what about the reaction of family and friends? I mean, you talked about the environment you grew up in County Kerry, obviously conducive to the decision and the course that your life has taken. But how did it go down?
It went down very well, actually. I think the good thing about my parents, they often would say that they'd be happy whatever I was doing as long as I was happy. And just maybe just to refer back to what the two lads were saying about why priesthood, it's actually quite apt that as we're coming up to Christmas, I remember last Christmas I was shopping with my little niece Millie, and I was in the shopping centre, and I'd be looking around and I'd be saying, God, you know, I'd love to be dead. You know, now those feelings disappear in early January. But it's just priesthood is both a sacrifice and a service, you know, and a lot of people are very, very supportive. People who would be against it would often be seen it as countercultural, but I think the majority of people are very happy to see guys going forward.
But do you have but they see as well that it's a very demanding one. I mean, like, does that pain you, the idea of celibacy?
It does. Like, I mean, it's the same as people who are married. You know, we go through the same challenges as people who want to stay married. It's a sacrifice and it's a service. You know, it's often said that when you give up something, we get so much back in return. And we're just called to a different fatherhood, a different expression of fatherhood in our parishes.
Like, I'd be good friends now with Brendan Maher, the captain of the TIP team. And like, his goal is to win an All-Ireland medal, to lead Tipperary to that. And the amount of sacrifice that he's had in terms of relationships and time spent with family and even investment in career for that goal of winning with TIP. I mean, I see a lot of similarities in that. I have this goal of sainthood, and I want to sacrifice so much to get there. And it seems like such a good goal to want to be a saint and to want to dedicate my life to God and to prayer and to the service of his people, that I'm willing to sacrifice these things, which I see are very good things.
Leo, are they a bit innocent?
Sorry?
Are they a bit innocent, I'm wondering? You have much more life experience.
I wouldn't say they're innocent. I think, you know, because people always say when they talk about celibacy, about what we have to give up. And when you're going into a marriage, you never think about what you're giving up. You always think about what you're going to receive out of a marriage. And most certainly, if I was being married, for example, say next June instead of being ordained, I still believe that God would be the first thing in my heart. But I would express that love for God through my love for my wife and children. But obviously, you know, being a celibate, you're able to give your undivided love to Christ.
And what about, again, I think, Sean, was it we used the words countercultural, Vincent? You know, you were talking about an Ireland where, you know, the phrase post-Catholic is one that we frequently hear. The church arguably is seen as tired, dead, irrelevant. So where do you fit into all of that?
I suppose fit into a place where there's new shoots, and like our lifestyle in Maynooth and our seminary life doesn't, to me, feel tired or irrelevant. It's a place of great energy and joy, and like there's between 65 and 70 people there at any one time studying for priesthood, and we've such a fantastic time. Like, we're involved in so many activities. We work in hospitals and schools, prisons, all sorts of different placements. We have a rich prayer life. We're studying theology, philosophy. There's so many things that about this life that give me great energy, you know. So I mean, that's completely divorced from my experience.
Sean, what's the daily, what's the regime like in Maynooth? What do you have to endure, if I can put it like that, maybe a bit negatively?
Well, the day starts off, we start off with prayer in the morning, around 7 o'clock. Mass follows that at 7:45. And then guys are on different paths in for education. Some will be doing philosophy, theology, and the lectures will be dispersed out during the day. And then we'll gather again around 6:10 for evening prayer. And then during the week, then we'd have moments of adoration, Blessed Sacrament. We would gather as diocesan groups, liturgy groups, and so on. And there's a lot of other activities as well, such as sport. We just had our yearly Die Shield soccer tournament. It was my first time playing in it, and I was a little bit sore on the Sunday, but it was well worth it.
But what about Friday night, Saturday night? You know, people your age, they're out carousing, they're cavorting, they're having a lot of good times. Do you miss that?
I suppose to a certain extent I miss the socialising. It's not like I'm cut off from it entirely. Like when I go home after a game, I go down to the pub with the lads for a while. Like the nightclub life, I had that when I was in Mary Eye. I had it as a teacher, and like I enjoyed it to a certain extent, you know. I wasn't the greatest of dancers or anything like that, but there was a lot of energy to it. But I mean, I replace that now with great friendship. We have social nights on our Fridays or Saturdays. We have a fantastic Saturday evening prayer in the seminary, fully sung, and it's almost like you're in Glenstall Abbey with the resonances and the music. And what I've gained on this, I couldn't give back. You know, it's that simple.
Leo, you and Vincent are both wearing collars because I think you're both deacons. You're coming up to ordination. What awaits you when you are ordained?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of challenges out there in parish. And for me, actually, the church awaits us. And the church is the people of God. And I suppose, you know, it is a changing church. And we're out there and we have to obviously be listening to see what the people want. And obviously, that I mean, for me, I reckon that, you know, when we go to parish, that our main task is to bring Christ into the people, into the parishes, but also to be able to interpret, you know, the Bible as it applies to people today and applies to their lives and all the different difficulties they go through. Because, I mean, the church is very good for being there for people. It's particularly the tough times, you know, funerals. They're also there for the happy times, the weddings, the baptisms. So it's good to be there for people.
What about the indifference, though, Sean?
The indifference of?
Countless thousands of people to not just the Catholic Church, but any kind of sense of God or the divine or spiritual.
Yeah, well, that's a challenge that we need to face. Just to say that Maynooth is preparing priests for the 21st century, you know, like what Vincent said, that we're exposed to a lot of different ministries, be it prison, youth ministry, social care and all this. And, you know, it's something that we need to look at as we go forward.
OK, we'll leave it there. Thank you all three of you for coming in. Sean Jones, Vincent Stapleton and Leo Creelman. Thank you indeed. More after these.
Thanks. Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.